Brilliant. I'd love to invite Chris up, who's going to share a message for us. Who's excited for Chris's word? I'm always excited to hear Chris preach. But Lord, we just want to pray for you, Chris, and ask God to bless you. Thank you, God, for Chris. Thank you for what you've placed on his heart today to share with us. I pray that you just use him just as a vessel and speak through him into each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Nick. Wonderful to be back with you. I'm actually going to invite Joy up. She's going to read to us from Acts 19. It's an amazing account of mission and church planting going on. And you're going to hear from Joy and Martin next week. I'm not going to steal their story, so I'll allow them to tell it when Janet speaks to us next week. But Joy, why don't you come up and bring us this reading from Acts.
The reading today is taken from Acts 19, verses 1 to 10. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Joy. And we're going to dig into that a bit. Let's see whether my slides... We've got the slides up, first one. There we go. So we are together exploring the church that God is calling us to be. We're doing that partly by reading together this book, The Church of Tomorrow. And we're also sharing conversation, exploring God's word, and understanding the foundations of the church that God calls us to be. It's been amazing this week. I don't know why particularly this week, but I've had a lot of conversations with people that go something like, "Hey, it's great all the stuff we're reading about what the church should be, but what does this actually look like in practice? Are we still going to have gatherings on a Sunday? Are we still going to have a church building? Are we..." And they're like, "This is wonderful that we are asking those kinds of questions. We're saying, yeah, how do we play our part together in working out what God is calling us, his church, to do?" Now, a big part of that is we change our perspective on what church is. This building is not church. Okay, it's a church building. I know that's what society calls it, but this isn't church. These walls don't define us. Neither is this service church. We do some brilliant stuff. It's wonderful to meet together, pray together, worship God together, share conversation together. All of that is the stuff of us being church. You see, church has always been and will always be God's people together. Meeting together, encouraging one another in small groups and in large groups and everything in between. God's people meeting together. In the book we're reading, John McGinley puts it like this: the church is a community of disciples with Jesus at its center, seeking to obey him and see his kingdom come in the world. It doesn't get much simpler than that. We are a community of people who follow Jesus. At our center, Jesus. We seek to live our lives in a way that we can obey him. We heard from Emily. She thought God might just be saying to invite her street. And so she did. It's in his hands what comes of that. More of that later. Now I'm going to give us a little recap on where we've been so far. You'll see some of this in that statement. So firstly, that Jesus is Lord, the center of everything. Everything we do and say and are is built on the reality that Jesus is Lord. Secondly, that we're dependent on the Holy Spirit. We saw that in our reading today. Paul comes to the people at Ephesus and he says, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And they're like, no, we haven't heard about this. And so he prays for them. And they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so that is their starting point. It's like, if you're going to get on with what God is asking you to do, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit is going to tell you what it looks like in your community. And that's why I love that we're asking those questions, like, what does this look like here? Because that is something that the Holy Spirit will lead us on as we pray together, as we talk together, as we listen together to what the Spirit is saying. It is a church that is confident in the gospel. What do we mean by that? Well, Jesus is Lord. How confident are we sharing with people who don't know Jesus to say, let me introduce you to the one who loves me like no one else. The one who's brought transformation to my life. Let me introduce you to the one who is Lord and Savior. As we heard last week from John, it is a church of disciples who are not content just to be disciples, but are disciples who want to help others become disciples, who again help others to become disciples, and so on through the centuries the church has grown. That's the kind of church that God is calling us to be. But that question, what does this look like? When we get on to thinking about the church as a church that plants churches, is where we start to see some of the reality. Now, again, we need this mindset shift, because when we think about church as the building, and we think about church planting, we think, oh, we need to replicate a building somewhere with a team and some people that come to a gathering, and that becomes church. Now, I don't want to in any way undermine church plants that have taken a big team, placed them somewhere, and grown a church. We've seen two amazing church plants come out of this place with Emmanuel and B&A, with that graft. And they are both thriving and doing amazing things as God leads those churches in his way for those people. But what I do want to do is to open up our thinking to how the Holy Spirit might be working to get us to plant hundreds of smaller churches. Not just this community, but churches across this city, listening to the Holy Spirit and going, ah, that's what I need to do. You see, when the church is the people, us, gathered together, our perspective comes on how God sees us in our hearts, what his perspective is on us. It's like saying, I want to know you. I want to invite you into a relationship with me. And we start to become aware of those around us. Now pause for a moment. Who can you think of who doesn't know Jesus and isn't here? Anyone connected with anyone? They've yet to discover the transforming power of Jesus in their lives. And they're not here for a whole bunch of reasons. Really great reasons. Anyone got people in their lives like that? I've got a few. Be bold. Just, if you've got people in your life like that, just put your hand up. Have a look around. Okay, we're connected to a lot of people who don't know Jesus. The thing is, we can look at that and think, oh, is that, do you mean that's all on me then? Those people that I'm connected to, I need to reach out to them on my own. Kind of like me and God, and we'll go and do our thing. Again, I want to just change our thinking. We're not thinking of church planting as a kind of me on my own thing. It's not that small. It's an us as a community saying, what is the Holy Spirit doing in our midst? And what is he calling us to do? From setting up a discovery Bible study with your street, and who knows where that is going to go, to 100 other things, and probably many more. Now let's have a look a little bit at that passage and dig into what was going on in the first century church. So we get Paul, he's in one place, and his speaking is not accepted, so he moves next door to the lecture hall of Tyrannus. That is what it is. The bit I want to focus on is the next bit. That went on for 2 years. That's quite a long time. But then we get these two little words, so that. And we say, that was God's purpose. Paul didn't speak in that place just because he fancied speaking to some people. God asked him to speak so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Wow, all. That's a lot of people. I don't know, my history's not great, but I couldn't count how many people were in the province of Asia. But I reckon, and we're not told in the Bible, that there were more than would have been able to get to the hall of Tyrannus and listen to Paul teaching. There had to have been more. Which means there had to have been a movement out of Ephesus to the surrounding regions to take what people had heard, the gospel, and share it with others. And what do we see? In Revelation, John writes to the 7 churches in the province of Asia. 7 churches. Now, maybe that is just indicative of a whole load of churches, but there was clearly some movement of the followers of Jesus, the disciples, going outwards, sharing with people, saying, I need to tell you this good news. It is just the most amazing news you will ever hear. It will change your life. Let me tell you about it. And so what we see is this progression, that central community starts in 2s, 3s, heading out, connecting with other people, forming new gatherings. And over time, it begins to take shape, and you start to see churches forming. Now we're doing a bit of kind of mindset shifting. So church is not a building, it's us, it's the people. A church plant is also not a building, it's people. A church plant doesn't have to be a particular size before it gets able to be called a church. Jesus said, where 2 or 3 are gathered, I am there in their midst. If they're praying together, encouraging one another, discipling each other, and sharing the gospel, then they're behaving rather like a church. So don't think big. And then if we're thinking, but I could never do that. That's for those kind of professionals who've gone off to theological college and done that training. We need to think again. All this week I've been reading this quote to people because it's brilliant. Michael Green, back in 1990, that's a little while ago, he wrote a book called Evangelism Through the Local Church. He says this, the Holy Spirit loves to start small and build something beautiful for God. This pattern is exemplified in Acts. That is how he began on the day of Pentecost, with just a handful of people. That is how he built the church at Philippi, with a jailer, a commercial traveler, and an ex-medium. That is how he founded the church at Corinth, with a discouraged apostle, the companionship of Aquila and Priscilla, opportunities opening up in the workplace and in the synagogue, some significant conversations, and a whole city eventually touched by the gospel. God chooses those who society would look at, and particularly those religious societies, and say, well, you're not the one who's going to take the gospel. God's got other ideas. Because he looks at us and he goes, potential. Look at the potential. In every one of us, none of us does God look at and say, no, not them. He looks at us and says, look at the potential in that person. I'm going to fill them with my spirit. Get them so excited about the transformation Jesus is bringing to their lives, and then launch them out. So when we get on to this question, what does this look like? A question that's come at me time and time and time again this week. I think the first word we need to answer it with is community. The first word. Leslie Newbegin, some of you may have heard of him. He wrote a book, well, he's written many books, but one called The Gospel in a Pluralist Society. He says this: I am suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic, that's application of the gospel, is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. He goes on to say that all the different practices of church that we use to challenge public life with the gospel, they are good, but he says they're all secondary. They have power to accomplish their purpose only as they are rooted in and lead back to a believing community. And so at the center of all our thinking about what it means to be church is us together. Now, how does that feel for us? This morning, in that kind of melee before the gathering, I spoke to four new people, and there's a whole bunch of other new people. I'm seeing some faces around. If this is like your first, second, third Sunday, you are so welcome with us. Wonderful that you can be here. I hope you've been invited warmly into our community. I encourage you to get into conversation with people afterwards and say, what's it like being part of this community? But as a community of the size we are here, we won't all know each other. There will be people in the room here that you don't know. And that's okay. We have a number of small communities. They're smaller groups, about 8, 10, 12, that sort of number of people who meet together regularly. To just get to know each other deeper, to pray together, to worship together, to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you asking of us? To encourage each other to be more wholehearted disciples of Jesus. And in those places, we get to know each other really well. And we get to know each other in relationship to the Holy Spirit. It's the most beautiful thing. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, but I'm not in a small community. We'd love to make that happen. I can't make that happen in a week. But we'd love to work with you to say, how can we actually get all of us into small communities? Places where we can thrive and get to know each other deeply. So that's the first bit of being community, is that we focus on where we are connected in. Who are the people we're connected closely to? The people we pray with. We ask the big questions with. But I want to give us then the next bit, because in being church, we have to look outwards. Where do we start? That's that comment about what that definition of church. A community of disciples with Jesus at its center, seeking to obey him, that's all the inward bit, and see his kingdom come in the world. That takes us out. And so the questions I'd love us to be thinking deeply about. Firstly, who am I connected with in this community? Who am I connected with? If that's no one, we'd love to help you with that. Come and see us after and we'll see if we can introduce you to some people. But then, when you're in connection with others, who are we, like the we, who are we connected with? Who doesn't know Jesus, isn't going to walk through those doors, and maybe we can be the people God is asking to take church to them. You get that picture? So we, together in community, let's say our community is here, we disciple, encourage, and strengthen each other that we might each be more obedient to Jesus when he asks us to do things. But we don't just sit here. We say, God, what are you asking of us? And so we head off out into those places where we connect with people who don't know Jesus, and maybe we've already got connection with them. It might be a workplace. It could be a school. It could be another organization you're part of. It could even be just walking down the street and the Holy Spirit says something to you and you go and pray for someone. A whole load of different things. Now, there's still a few myths we need to undo around this whole thing about church planting, because people think, I've got to go out, so I've got to leave this place and go and join another community. You might have to. The Holy Spirit might say to you, like he said to Sophie and Elliot, it's time to go. Got a new thing. And so they're going through the process of what it is to leave this community of followers of Jesus and move to another place. God will do amazing things in that journey. But you don't have to. You could plant a church just by starting to meet with your neighbors while still coming here. Who knows? Spirit might ask you to do something like that. And so when we start thinking about the work of the Spirit in us, us together, not just that person or that person or that person or me, or but us, it becomes this alive conversation that just says, what could God do in our midst? Just what could he do? Our horizons start to expand and we say, the God of the universe, the God who created all of this, who knit us together, chooses to use us to reach others with the gospel. Wow. Just pause a moment. Let that settle, that reality. The God who created everything, he's beyond us getting our heads around who he is. So awesome, so far beyond our thinking. He's the one who reaches down to us through Jesus, dies for us, risen again, sends his Holy Spirit, and then says, and I want to use you to tell people about what's happened in your life when you met Jesus. You're like, wow, me? You want to use me? He says, yeah, I want to use every one of you. Wow, wow, wow. I think we're going to come into land there. I'm going to bring another reading up. This will be familiar to you. So I'm going to focus on those first few words. Now to him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So think of those people you're connected with who don't know Jesus. Now also, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't know Jesus, it's brilliant that you are here. Come and have a chat. Share a conversation with us and say, you keep talking about Jesus like he's the most amazing person who loves you. Can you tell me a bit more? Dare to ask those questions. But anyway, right now, think about those people you are connected to in the church and think about how that group that you're connected to is connected with others outside. Just picture those two things. People beyond the boundaries of this church, people within this church, and where you sit in the middle of all that. What's your heart cry for those people who are outside the church? Don't yet know Jesus. What's your heart cry? Well, whatever your heart cry is, God can do immeasurably more than that. And you might say, yeah, but I've been praying for these people for like decades. Keep praying. God's at work. He will do immeasurably more. Let's stand if you're able. We have here, yeah, come up. We have here the invitation from God to become a church whose focus is intentionally on those beyond our community who don't know Jesus. And to work with one another to share the good news of Jesus with those people. That's what we have in our hands. And so we have a choice before us. We can say, yeah, God, that's all very nice, but I really quite like it here. Can I just stay within the boundaries of this? Sort of, it's a bit scary to go out. Or we can say, God, it's still scary, and I still don't know what I'm going to do, or how I'm going to do it, or who I'm going to do it with. But yeah, okay, I'm with you, God. I want to go and reach those people with the news of the gospel. Show us how. And then our work here together becomes equipping one another whilst we do it. Sharing those stories. Who was encouraged by hearing Emily share? I was. What you don't know is that for the last, I don't know, few months, I've been thinking I really should invite people on my street to some sort of Bible study. Wow, I'm feeling a little bit convicted there. So watch this space. We'll see whether I find the courage to do that. Let's equip each other. You know, I've just been equipped with courage. I've seen someone else has done that. That's equipping. I reckon there are tens, hundreds even, of stories here in this room about the Spirit moving. So I'd love to invite us to respond to this in a couple of ways. Yeah, go on, go for some. Let's have some music. And firstly, I think the response is if you're in that place that says, okay, God, yeah, I'll do this. Feels scary. Haven't got a clue where to start. Don't know who to start it with. But okay, God, I'm there. I just invite you to come out the front. Let's start. Let's pray for each other. We're not going to make big prayers. We're not going to talk to each other at length. We're just going to celebrate what God is doing in our midst. So if you're here and you're saying, yeah, God, okay, I'm ready to do this. As I said, don't know where to start. Don't think I'm able. That's okay. Just respond with that yes that says to God, okay, whatever. Let's just start there.